Good morning, Green Bay Packer fans. Welcome to Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. I'm joined today by Jamie Jors, our live blog director, and we're getting ready for a Green Bay Packers game to ring in the new year 2012 on Sunday against the Detroit Lions. Packers looking to go 15-1. Best season in franchise history. Thank you everybody so much for joining us today. Our last episode of Railbird Central for 2011. Pardon me while I shed a tear. No, it's always happy to be bringing in a new year with hopefully some good news as the Packers take on the Lions in just 2 days from now. I might have to talk a little bit about college football today, though. Wow, what an exciting game last night. Getting to see the Heisman Trophy winner, Robert Griffin, in the Alamo Bowl. Almost the highest scoring bowl game in history. I think they scored a combined 123 points. Of course, Baylor beat Washington last night in the Alamo Bowl. I forget the score off the top of my head. Something like 67-59. Something along those lines. Second highest scoring bowl game in history. Only 2 points off the record. The most yards combined in a bowl game in history. They broke that record by over 100 yards. Well over 1,500 yards combined. I think they broke the record for the most first downs as well. It was absolute insanity and kind of exciting. A lot of, true hardcore football fans don't like to see that, especially, you know, the game was announced last night by Chris Spielman, a former great linebacker at both the college and pro levels. And, you know, being a defensive player, it just drove him nuts to see the poor defense on display last night. But exciting, though. That's for sure, in the Alamo Bowl. And the chance for the nation to really see Robert Griffin up close. He kind of almost won the Heisman Trophy out of nowhere. I don't think there was a lot of attention on him earlier in the season. The hardcore college football fans and writers and things like that, they knew who he was, but I think your general populace, he wasn't like at the top of everyone's radar. He really did put together a special season, I think very deserving of the Heisman Trophy. And so after he wins the trophy last night, everybody tunes in to see him and puts on quite a display. And I think is going to be a very, very good pro player. He's the total package. You know, I don't know if he's as good as Andrew Luck who's going to be the top draft choice in the NFL's upcoming draft. Question on the live blog, is RG3 going pro? Kevin asks. And, I would have to guess so. Robert Griffin III is a junior, but there's not a whole lot more for him to accomplish at the college level. I think he'll turn pro, but that is just a guess. And nothing official has come yet. He has not said. And I'm sure Robert Griffin was just, doing the university a solid by, you know, not announcing anything till after the game, things along those lines. And that makes sense. But we'll find out in the coming days whether he's going to go pro or not. And I think Robert Griffin is the total package. This is a guy who, if you don't know Robert Griffin, he was at one time a world-class hurdler. At the college and I believe the high school level, and I believe he also performed in college a little bit as well. I think he's kind of turned to since focusing on football, but literally it is not a stretch of the imagination at all to call Robert Griffin a world-class hurdler. At least he was at one point, and a guy who possibly could have been in the Olympics. And Kevin on the live blog saying, I heard he's very smart too. I've heard the same. You're getting a guy who is not only athletic and very athletic, but it's not like that's the only thing he can do is run the ball. In fact, he's probably a better passer than runner, if that's almost hard to believe. He really is very accurate and can make the downfield throws. You know, it's not one of those, even though Baylor throws a lot, it's not a dink and dunk offense kind of like Houston. You hear maybe some things about what they would do at Texas Tech or Houston, those kind of offenses that are passing all the time, but a lot of short dump offs and things like that. Not so much at Baylor. They do a good job throwing the ball downfield, you know, kind of almost like the Packers do. Certainly different levels here, and there's a lot of discrepancy, but very good targets there for Robert Griffin as well. Kendall Wright, wide receiver. He's going to be a wide receiver in the pros. So, you know, just interesting to talk about a guy who's going to be playing next year in the NFL, possibly against the Packers. Can't imagine Robert Griffin is going to be a Packer. Although that'd be cool. But anyhow, it's December 30th today, and I love today. There's going to be college football on a weekday starting at 11 a.m. Central Time today. Four bowl games, kind of back-to-back-to-back-to-back. That is fantastic if you're a college football junkie like me, an NFL draft junkie. I've already got my lists of the top pro prospects who are going to be playing in today's game. It's football all day long today. But tell you the truth, I can't watch football all day long today. It is my anniversary today as well. So this evening has to be devoted to my wife. But that's okay. I'll get plenty of football in this afternoon before we go out to dinner tonight and celebrate. So good day in the Caribou household. But anyway, enough about me. Let's get to talking about the Green Bay Packers. How about that? The Packers take on the Lions to ring in the new year on Sunday. The game is kind of without, to an extent, without a lot of attention. Or, you know, this game would have had a lot of attention had the Packers still been undefeated. But they're not. They're not undefeated anymore. That kind of took a little bit of luster off the game. But still, a lot of very interesting storylines revolving around this game. And I left a lot of them in this morning's Packers Daily links. If you scroll up to the top of the live blog, I left a link. Open up, follow along. A lot of the stories, a lot of the storylines going on for Sunday's game. I'll just quickly recap several of them. You're going to be wanting to watch the left tackle position. What do the Packers do there? Head coach Mike McCarthy has said Chad Clifton is going to play on Sunday. Whether he starts or not, we don't know. At what point he'll come in, we don't know. How they'll divvy up the snaps between him and Marshall Newhouse, we don't know. What they're going to do with the rest of the offensive line, we don't know. Whether that means Marshall Newhouse is going to move over to right tackle, and then what that means for TJ Lang. Will he move back to left guard? Will Evan Dietrich Smith be in the lineup or out? All these things are kind of up in the air, and still, Brian Bulaga, his status up in the air as well. We don't know if he'll play on Sunday. I'm doubting he will. I imagine the Packers will err on the side of caution. But still, all these things. So, going to want to keep an eye on the left tackle position and the offensive line in general on Sunday. Quarterback, another position to watch. We don't know how much the starters are going to play. My prediction is that the Packers will start Aaron Rodgers. This is the direction they took in the 2007 season finale. Also happened to be against the Lions. But if you remember in that game, the Packers had wrapped up a first-round bye, no matter what happened in the final game. And they started Brett Favre and took him out after about a quarter and gave way to Craig Knoll. And that's kind of the way they went in 2007. Very similar situation this year. Packers not only have wrapped up a bye, but home field advantage in the playoffs as well. And I think they will start Aaron Rodgers and then give way to Matt Flynn for most of the game. And just kind of a minor note, I don't know what's going to happen here or not. Be interesting to see just whether Graham Harrell is active or not on Sunday. Of course, he's been on the 53-man roster for several weeks and was last year as well, but has not been active yet this season. So it'll be interesting to see what the Packers do with him. Other positions to watch: right outside linebacker. Head coach Mike McCarthy acknowledged yesterday that they're going to have a rotation at outside linebacker as they kind of look for the solution, look for the answer. I don't think the Packers are going to find the answer at right outside linebacker among any of the players they currently have on their roster, but still looking for the best option as the Packers head into the playoffs. Eric Walden has been benched the past 2 weeks. We have found out that it was partially it because of illness this past week. Apparently, he lost 7 pounds the night before the Bears game. Merry Christmas to Eric Walden. That had to be a rough night. Apparently, he had a stomach virus or something like that. That's the report from Tom Silverstein, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. But still, regardless, you know, he is benched. He was taken out, and the Packers trying all sorts of different combinations at right outside linebacker. Brad Jones got his shot, did very little. Vic Sooto got his shot. Maybe showed a little more than Walden and Jones, but still didn't show anything too much. Again, a rookie, though, so you kind of wonder if he will perhaps turn it on. Jamari Lattimore even got a couple snaps as well. Frank Zombo, kind of a interesting situation. Frank Zombo was not active on Sunday, this past Sunday, against the Bears, even though the Packers knew that Eric Walden was sick and had lost a lot of weight overnight, or I'm assuming they knew at least. And kind of weird that if they knew about Walden's illness and you still didn't start, or not start, but at least kept Frank Zombo active just in case, that it kind of showed something to me a little bit that maybe they've soured a little bit on Frank Zombo. Not soured, but, you know, don't think he's as good of an option as, say, Vic Sooto or Brad Jones or things like that. Mike McCarthy did kind of talk about special teams as playing a factor in that decision, and I can certainly see that. Among the outside linebackers, Jamari Lattimore and Brad Jones are two of the better special teams players on the Packers, so they want them to play. So, you know, you're kind of in a situation. They don't want to, bench or, you know, keep an active Lattimore or Jones. So, you know, it's who do you bench then to make Zombo active? So, you know, there's kind of a give and take there. And the Packers decided in the end to keep Zombo inactive and instead, keep active the special teams guys and Vic Sooto. So, anyway, they're all going to play. Well, I don't know if they're all going to play, but head coach Mike McCarthy said there would be a rotation, and you'd have to figure it's going to be a situation a lot like Aaron Rodgers, where at some point I imagine Clay Matthews is going to come out of the game just so the Packers keep him free of injury. So there's also going to be somebody playing at left outside linebacker. So there's a lot of different guys are probably going to get opportunities to play at one of the outside linebacker positions. And this is a big opportunity for all of them. Whoever flashes on Sunday could be part of the Packers' playoff plans, could be, you know, a big part of what the Packers do in the playoffs, could start, could play a factor. You know, forced to guess, I would still think that Eric Walden is their best option. You know, he hasn't been great this year, but he's experienced, He's a veteran. He started every game this year, started many meaningful games last year on their run to the Super Bowl. And, you know, I just think he's the best option right now. Maybe Vic Soto is in the future. And that's not to say maybe the Packers don't utilize Vic Soto in some fashion, or maybe they go back to Frank Zombo. But, you know, we'll see on Sunday. It's an opportunity for all of them, and all of them have to take advantage of it. All of a sudden, if one of these guys gets two sacks Sunday, well, they're making a pretty good case for themselves to play in the playoffs. So, huge opportunity for all of them, and we will see who will take advantage. Kind of an underrated storyline as part of this game. There's kind of the whole undercurrent of Ndamukong Suh. Of course, nobody can forget the Thanksgiving Day game when Suh stomped on Evan Dietrich Smith, was ejected, later suspended, all those things. Nobody can forget that. That's very fresh in everybody's mind. So now Suh is back from suspension, going to face the Packers for the second time this year. So that'll kind of, you know, just because this game isn't so meaningful, at least in terms of playoff implications, it's kind of flown under the radar a little bit, I think. But, you know, the Packers are going to be facing Suh again. You know, it'll be definitely interesting to see how Evan Dietrich Smith would fare if faced up with Suh. And again, we don't know if Evan Dietrich Smith's going to play, or at least if he'll start, or how long he'll play. But it'll be interesting to watch them. You know, of course, there was those rumors at one point that Dietrich Smith had untied Sue's shoelaces, that apparently they've said is not true, but still funny regardless. There was some report out of a radio station in Oregon that had reported that, or talked to a former Packer who apparently had gotten the word. It's a convoluted story. But anyhow, it'll be interesting to see definitely how Josh Sitton does lined up across from Suh. If you remember the game, that was a game Josh Sitton exited with an injury. And of course, Sitton being one of the better Packers offensive linemen. You know, that's a good matchup just in general in terms of two good players, Sitton versus Suh. And also, Suh not being named to the Pro Bowl. You know, I think people soured on Ndamukong Suh quite a bit, especially following the stop. I mean, there's certainly lots of rumblings and lots of controversy surrounding him before the Thanksgiving Day game. But after that, on national TV, especially on the holiday stage, when a very large, I don't know if it's a majority, but a very large portion of the nation was watching, kind of soured on Ndamukong Suh when they saw that stomp and really people not liking him so much anymore. Does not get voted to the Pro Bowl. I think at one point he was the leading vote getter among defensive tackles among the fan vote. And even, I think by the time fan voting ended, he was no longer the leading vote getter. If I'm correct, Justin Smith from the 49ers was the leading vote getter among NFC defensive tackles. But I mean, Suh was still up there. And then not being named to the NFC team at all. And of course, who does get named to the NFC defensive tackles? B.J. Raji. And B.J. Raji, I'm sorry, B.J. Raji hasn't had as good a season as Ndamukong Suh this year. I mean, that's just putting it fairly, I think. Not to say I don't like B.J. Raji. Not to say he hasn't had a good season. I don't know if he's worthy of an All-Star game. Again, it's a popularity contest, though. The fans want to see B.J. Raji. Good for them. I just think that, you know, he perhaps didn't deserve it. So, anyway, comment from Patrick on the live blog. Jordy got snubbed in the Pro Bowl. He sure did. I think Jordy Nelson was more deserving than Greg Jennings of going to the Pro Bowl this year. And again, that's not to say that Greg Jennings isn't a good player. I think he's fantastic, but I do think Jordy Nelson has had a better season than Greg Jennings this year. That's what I feel. Injuries have played a part of that, a small part. But I think Jordy Nelson's just fantastic. That just he doesn't drop balls, or at least as much as other players on the team. He can break the big play. It, perhaps as much as any receiver in the NFL, can bust plays that go 80 yards. And he's had several of those this year. And not just 80-yarders, but I mean, how many times do you see a 40-yard touchdown from Jordy Nelson? And how many touchdowns has he had this year? 12? Brad Stanley on the live blog saying, Raji went to the Pro Bowl because of his TD dance alone. It is amazing what that did for BJ Raji. His little dance after he had the interception return for a touchdown in last year's NFC Championship game. I mean, he had a good season last year, but that just, like, made him a celebrity. You know, that happens. He scores the touchdown. He does the little dance, and his celebrity exploded at that point. And it didn't hurt that he happens to play fullback every once in a blue moon for the Packers and got a touchdown this year as well, carrying the ball. That's what gets publicity and attention, and that's what people vote for. And Jamie Joris says the freezer thing helped too. Yeah, of course, everybody comparing him to the refrigerator, William Perry, and the freezer nickname stuck for BJ Raji. And all of those things help to, make him popular and encourage people to vote for him. And certainly, I can understand why. If you want to call into the show, put the phone number up. Area code 646-797-2909. 646-797-2909. Nobody likes to call into the show, though. Everybody likes to give their commentary on our live blog, which I enjoy as well. And I think that's one of the unique things we do here at Cheesehead TV, providing the live blog for people to follow along and give their comments there. But anyway, you want to give your thoughts on the Packers is fine by me as we continue to look at the Packers-Lions matchup on Sunday. You know, I have to write our against the spread column, and I always give a prediction for the game. You know what, folks? Nobody's going to like to hear this, but I don't know for sure. I want to take this afternoon and look at it a little bit more, but I may not pick the Packers to win this game. I said I would pick the Packers to win straight up. Since about week three, that was the last time I predicted the Packers to lose. I predict every game in our against the spread column. I predicted the Packers to lose in week three at Chicago. Packers won, played very well that week. And I said, you know, this team's on a roll. I'm not going to pick them to lose again until the Packers actually lose. Well, the Packers lost to the Chiefs, showed a couple flaws. I still think they're the best team in the NFL, but I might pick the Packers to lose this weekend against the Lions. And not that I really think that has any impact on what I think of the Packers at all. It's almost more of a case that the Packers have very little to play for, while the Lions, I think, still do have some motivation. They are still playing for seeding in the playoffs. And I think they also want to go into the playoffs on a roll. They want to go in with some momentum. And the Lions are in a fight with, who is it, the Falcons, to be either the fifth or the sixth seed, depending on what those teams do this weekend. So, it's the Lions want to be the fifth seed, not the sixth seed. It means several things. It means possibly not having to play the Packers in the second round of the playoffs. It means possibly, a very remote possibility, that they could possibly host a playoff game, and if they happen to get all the way to the NFC Championship game, that would be a pretty slim odds of that happening, though. Kevin points out on the live blog, no one wants to play New Orleans in the first round, at least not at New Orleans. And that kind of plays part of it as well. So, again, you may see me pick against the Packers, but it's more because of these odd Week 17 scenarios where the Packers don't have a whole lot to play for, maybe playing their backups. Detroit will be motivated for this game. And, you know, that's the reason why. So, and I don't think I will pick against the Packers in the playoffs. I can't see it at this point. Maybe if the Packers put a stinker up today, maybe if they play poorly in the divisional round, then maybe. But I don't really, you know, foresee that happening. Maybe they'll lose, but I, you know, just to see them out and out play poorly. And even if they do lose this weekend, it's hard to put much stock into that, you know. We saw it in 2009 with the Packers. They were motivated in the last week of the regular season when they had to face the Arizona Cardinals. And the Cardinals kind of treated it as just, you know, their chance to sit back and give it a rest. And then the very next week, they turn around. Packers have to go to Arizona for a second week in a row for the wild card round of the playoffs, the game that really does matter. And the Cardinals turned it back on. You know, they beat the Packers, took overtime to do it, but still beat the Packers and, you know, went on to qualify for the Super Bowl that year. Didn't win it, but at least qualified. And so that, you know, it's, I think teams can shut it down the final week of the regular season and still turn it back on for the playoffs. Of course, the difference between the Packers this year and the 2009 Arizona Cardinals, Packers have a bye. So if you turn it down this week, turn it off, you've got 2 weeks till you turn it back on again. That's a long time. That's a long time. I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about our lead story in this morning's Packers Daily Links. If you haven't seen already, the 2012 Packers schedule is almost complete. Now, we won't know the exact dates of who and when they play until April, but their opponents have already been almost all determined. And to tell you the truth, I mean, their opponents for the next 10 years have almost all been chosen. You know, there's a rotation that divisions play every year. We already know, no matter what happens, no matter how the Packers do or any other team in the NFL does, the Packers were going to play the entire NFC West next year and the entire AFC South. So, right, what is that? 8 games right there. And then, of course, they have the home and home with all the division opponents, Chicago, Minnesota, Detroit. So, I mean, it's not really too much is at stake. There's a couple teams that the Packers will play. One is that by finishing, the Packers have already clinched first in the NFC North Division. They play the winner of the NFC South. So next year, the Packers host the New Orleans Saints once again next year. And then they also play the winner of the one game left to be determined. They play the winner of the NFC East next year on the road. And so that will come down to Sunday night, the last game of this season's NFL regular season, Sunday night football. What is it? Cowboys at Giants. The winner of that game, the Packers will play on the road next year. So that'd be kind of interesting to watch, just to give everybody a little bit of reason to watch on Sunday night. Well, in addition to determining the NFC East champion who goes to the playoffs between the Giants and the Cowboys as well. So, you know, kind of interesting. You know, you already know who the Packers are going to face at home this year, who they're going to face on the road almost. With that one game left to be determined. So 2012 schedule already almost final. And we'll find out definitely with firm confirmation by Sunday night. So anyhow, comment from Kyle on the live blog, Packers might play in New York City again next year. Nice. Or they could play in Dallas again. It's possible. Either one. Whoever wins. I'd have to give the Giants. Kevin on the live blog says, I give the Giants the edge since they're at home. I would too. Not to say I couldn't be wrong, but, you know, my prediction is the Giants. They seem to be playing a little bit better over the last half of the season. Anyhow, we're going to wrap it up here on Railbird Central today for the last episode of the 2011 year. Thank you, everybody, so much for joining us here at Railbird Central. Make sure to come back for our coverage of the game on Sunday and all week long with our coverage here at Cheesehead TV. Have a happy new year, everyone. I sincerely mean that. We'll make sure to come back on Monday for an interview with Tom Crabtree. We'll be talking to Tom on Monday morning once again as we ring in the new year. And have fun, everyone. Enjoy the game on Sunday. Go Pack, go. It's my anniversary. I got to go today. Watch some football this afternoon. Going out tonight, so I'm busy the rest of the day. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go. I leave you with a song called Barker by Keller Williams on Psy Fidelity Records. See ya.